It is 2:05 p.m., January 20, 2015. We are continuing the formal hearing of OPA PA 410-10.
And now we are going to watch a video presented by Morico as well as by GSWA.
That's good. Vocab order comparison. The Freightliner M2 is one of the top vocational vehicles on the market today, with its exceptional ease of upfit, remarkable fuel efficiency, and athletic maneuverability. However, there is still a common misconception, namely in refuse applications, that conventional cabs simply can't compete with a low cab-over engine or cab-over vehicle. We directly compared the M2 in a cab-over vehicle, looking specifically at turning radius, visibility, cab size, comfort and safety, as well as ingress and egress and serviceability. What was discovered shows the clear strengths of the Freightliner M2. It is often believed that the design of a cab-over vehicle offers a tighter turning radius, but an aerial view of the M2 and cab-over in a direct comparison clearly shows that this is not the case. The M2 is very agile and actually turns in a tighter radius than the cab-over vehicle. With a wheel cut up to 55 degrees, a setback front axle, and a swept-back bumper, the M2 performs better in tight spots and on routes that require precise maneuvering. The cab over used in this demonstration has a slightly longer wheelbase than the M2. However, both trucks are representative of what is used in the market today, and an increase in turning radius is not proportional to the increase in wheelbase. The M2 also offers excellent driver visibility for spotting potential hazards with an expansive one-piece windshield, aerodynamically shaped hood, and low-profile dash. While the cab over may have direct sight to the ground, there are a number of obstructions that block the driver's view. One thing is clear, the M2 provides a superior, unobstructed view. Every aspect of the M2 cab was designed to make the operator's job more comfortable, all while enhancing safety. In the cab over design, the engine protrudes extensively into the cab, leaving narrow seating for two. The spacious M2 can be configured to comfortably seat up to three occupants, all while offering plenty of storage space. By design, the conventional engine-forward M2 has also passed numerous stringent European crash tests to ensure it is one of the safest cabs on the market today. A vehicle's ingress and egress should be designed to reduce the opportunity for driver injury and fatigue. While a cab over may be closer to the ground than the M2, oddly placed handles, higher steps, and a tight door opening make ingress and egress a challenge. The ergonomically placed wrap handles, low step in height, slip-resistant wide dual steps, and large door opening make getting in and out of the M2 much easier. When it's time to service a vehicle, getting to the engine should be hassle-free. And when it comes to preventative maintenance, an easy-to-access engine encourages regular fluid level and visual inspections. In a cab-over vehicle, the entire cab must be tilted forward to access the engine. The M2 has two latches, and the hood opens with minimal effort in a fraction of the time. Once the hood is open, access to fluid levels and engine vitals are conveniently located on the outside of the M2 engine block. The footage speaks for itself. In a direct comparison, there's no denying the fact that the M2 has clear advantages in operator comfort, vehicle performance, maneuverability, and serviceability. While the misconceptions are real, the reality is apparent. The Freightliner M2 is well suited for traditional cab-over applications.
Go ahead and play the other one too, so that everybody can see.
Was that it?
That's, I think they're, that was about it.
Okay.
They just pull out after that.
Okay.
I think it, you know, I have a large screen in my office, and I couldn't play that smoothly on a large screen. When I put it on a smaller screen, it played smooth. Mm. So I don't know if that, because it was a little jumpy there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any more to it?
No.
No, that was it.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Okay.
Yeah.
Just stop. Thank you.
Thank you.
Proceed to closing arguments. Mr. Fowler, will you be Morville believes that the Freightliner refuse truck that it can embed in this procurement fulfills the needs of the GSWA. It appears to Morico that GSWA has specified a design rather than a performance characteristic. This was actually emphasized in GSWA's rebuttals to Morico's comments on the agency report. On page 5 of 6 of their rebuttals filed on December 15th, they put design in italics 5 times. They emphasize it's the design of the cab forward that they want. And that's fine that that's something GSWA wants, but government procurement is more about what the government needs. First of all, 2GAR section 3019N1, all criteria for a bid have to be listed in the invitation. In the specs released by GSWA, there's nothing in there about maneuverability. They don't even say maneuverability. When they mention visibility, it's in relationship to for the 25 cubic yard vehicle, a minimum 2,033 square inch windshield. Freightliner has a 2,500 square inch windshield, which provides maximum visibility, and there are no obstructions in that windshield as we just saw. While the GSWA also specified on the 25 cubic yard vehicle that a rear corner window and a B pillars post for maximum visibility and safety was specified, they deleted that specification at the request of MidPack. When you go to the 10 cubic yard specs, they don't even mention safety. They don't mention the size of the windshield. To the extent that GSWA requires some idea of maneuverability, it would seem to be more geared towards the 10 cubic yard truck, which they're going to use to replace the baby packers on more narrow routes or routes with maybe overhanging branches or something. But even on that smaller 10 cubic yard vehicle, they made no specification regarding visibility or safety. It's just not there. 2 GAR section 4102A2 specifications are to emphasize functional performance criteria, not design. Again, GSWA really wants a particular design. It would be interesting to know how these specifications were developed, but we cannot know that because required information that is to be included in a procurement record was not included in this one. It does not identify who drafted anything. It does not have all the drafts of the draftsmen, and it doesn't have brochures or submittals of vendors used in the development of specifications. I do note that the procurement record did include some specs submitted by Morico on September 25. I'm actually not exactly sure why those got submitted along with Alan Morrison's written questions. But those specs will be changed as Morico submits on a bid in this matter if they are allowed to bid a conventional vehicle. Five GCA section 5268A provides that there should be no restrictive dimensions or weights, only essential functions in specifications. GSWA has gotten away from that. They are focused on getting a cab-forward design. Although they don't reference safety and visibility other than in one part of their 25 cubic yard spec, Freightliner, as I just mentioned, provides a 2500 square inch windshield, so they meet the specs there. There is not a visibility problem. And even if they're out doing routes in the early morning when it's still dark, the Freightliner vehicle does have headlights. We all drive with headlights. All sorts of commercial and private vehicles go around this island with headlights. If you pay attention, you're not going to hit anything. Now, if a pig darts out of the jungle across the road, you're going to hit that guy regardless of the vehicle you're in. But as you can see from the video, the M2 model of Freightliner vehicle that Morico will offer has a sloped-down front hood that provides great visibility. That snout, as Mr. Anderson referred to it, is actually shorter on this M2 vehicle. And the reason for that is, well, Morico believes that the Freightliner vehicle that was down in the parking lot today, it was a 10-year-old model. It was a CL120 with a 120-inch back of cab to front. Morico is going to be offering either a 106-inch or 112-inch cab. So that snout that Mr. Anderson emphasized is actually shorter on the M2 vehicle that Morico will offer. And of course, that front is sloped down to provide greater visibility. All sorts of people drive conventional cab vehicles around this island, and we do not have a spate of accidents with them. And I actually asked Mr. Anderson of any accidents on Guam, and he didn't answer me. He referred to statewide statistics or something, and I'm not quite sure where he got those from. I think he said that refuse work is some of the most dangerous work in the country. But he didn't really answer my question on vehicles hitting people on Guam. If you're a careful driver, you're not going to hit people. And of course, if you're out at 3 in the morning, most people are sleeping anyway. It certainly would not seem to justify the cost difference in these vehicles. And GSWA understands that it costs more to get this cab forward design. The cab forward design drives larger and more expensive components. Mr. Morrison can't give you a precise estimate of how much. He does not know the competitor's prices, but he estimates it could be $30,000 or $40,000 difference per vehicle. And for that amount of money, the cab forward is not justified on the safety factors that GSWA has spoken about. In terms of operator comfort and safety, the Freightliner vehicle is actually better. When you get into a cab forward vehicle, it's pretty confining. You've got, if you saw the cab forward downstairs, there was an engine block in between the seats. So it's almost like you're in a one of these luge sleds. You're very confined. And it is difficult to enter and exit that cab forward vehicle. You come down to a very short couple of steps, and you have to hold on really well to get up and to get down without hurting yourself. That's not a problem with the Freightliner M2 vehicle. The GSWA has also specified a steel cab, and I'm not sure why. They require rust proofing with that. The Freightliner vehicle has a lighter aluminum cab, which is rust corrosive resistant to begin with. To the extent, again, maneuverability was not even mentioned in these specifications. What they did mention was a turning radius, which the Freightliner vehicle can meet in both the 10 cubic yard and 25 cubic yard vehicles. And while Mr. Anderson testified that wheelbase has an effect on maneuverability, what was just said on the Freightliner comparison video is that they've developed their wheel cut on their conventional cab so that the increased wheelbase does not detract from the radius that that vehicle is able to turn on. So Morco would submit that there is not a justifiable basis for restricting this procurement to a cab forward of refuse truck. A conventional cab, like the Freightliner M2 vehicle, will absolutely meet the needs of GSWA and will save the taxpayers quite a good bit of money. And so we would ask the auditor to require the GSWA to permit the bidding of a conventional cab. And they would have to also amend every specification that is geared towards the cab forward model. Many of these specifications are driven by the cab forward model. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fowler. Ms. Williams?
Yeah, thank you. I spent a few years living in San Francisco, and I went back to visit a couple years ago, and like a tourist, I was wandering around downtown, and I wasn't paying attention to where I was going, and I kind of had some of that San Francisco entitlement that we always have the right of way. And I had stepped out into the street and then looked up and saw a giant bus, you know, revving its engine, and then it slammed on the brakes like a couple feet from me, and I was safe. Now, it was a flat-nosed bus, and I like to think that the reason he was able to stop was because he could see me right there, just a couple feet from the ground. And I think that it's that same experience, well, in Mr. Anderson's years and years of experience and expertise and observation that the cab forwards or the flat noses do provide that visibility. So the question is whether Mr. Anderson, Chase, was allowed to rely on that experience and expertise in determining that a cab forward was necessary to meet the needs of the territory. I think that's the question there. And also, you know, of course, whether he violated any procurement law. So does the procurement law allow for him to rely on that experience and expertise and make that determination? 5GCA, section 5265 says, all specifications shall seek to promote overall economy for the purposes intended and encourage competition in satisfying the territory's needs and shall not be unduly restrictive. And this seems to be the base, the most base principle in the specifications. Now, I can't say with certainty from the testimony, it does sound that, well, the cab forward model cost a little more, or a lot more. Maybe, I don't know the dollar amount that it's gonna cost. But if we're looking at terms of what is it that the territory needs? What is the purpose intended for these two categories of refuse trucks? And it's not just to pick up trash. It's to do so without incident or harm, to do so efficiently. We don't want to hurt anyone. I mean, a pig is one example, but a child is another example. And I don't know at what cost we're going to put in determining, well, we want to do it safely, but not if it costs too much. You know, I don't know what cost how we're going to weigh that. But I think that the law allows for the agency, the purchasing agency, to make that determination. And to JAR section 4105, the paragraph's entitled Relationship with Using Agencies. It states that the chief procurement officer and the director of public works shall obtain expert advice and assistance from personnel of using agencies in the development of specifications and may delegate in writing to a using agency the authority to prepare and utilize its own specification. And I think that language, shall obtain expert advice and assistance from personnel of the using agencies and development of specs, is implicitly acknowledges that there is expertise, expert advice. They are the experts. The purchasing agency is the expert. And what is the need for the purchasing agency? Here we have Mr. Anderson, who's testified that he has decades of experience in the trash business and refuse collection. And in his experience and his expertise, it's been his observation that cab forward trucks are better suited for refuse collection. And I think that Morico's video that we just watched doesn't necessarily go against that. I mean, the whole purpose of the promotional video seemed to be to overcome the assumption that that conventional, I think, and I'm quoting here, that the conventional cabs, a misconception that they're not well suited for traditional cab over applications. And I find that interesting because it kind of concedes there that refuse collection is traditional cab over application. And kind of what I was getting at when I was, when Mr. Morrison was testifying, what applications are you talking about? The difference between flat nose and conventional. So I would think the law acknowledges that he was entitled to determine what it's the purchasing agency that determines what the need is. We established that the need wasn't just to find or purchase refuse trucks, period. They were to purchase refuse trucks for the collection of trash between 3 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon to the 17,000 residents or customers of the territory of Guam, with Guam's less than ideal roads, with Guam's vegetation and jungle. That's the full context of the need. It's not just to purchase refuse trucks. You have to put it in context. So that is the need, or the that really the trucks are for. Now, to go on to the cab forward specification, Morico is cited to several sections of law and regulation in which they allege that this specification is not consistent with. Well, we disagree. 2GAR, section 4102A2, says that specifications shall, to the extent practicable, emphasize functional or performance criteria while limiting design or other detailed physical characteristics. Now, Morico has cited to that same section to say, well, see, this is directly contrary to the letter of the law or regulation, because cab over is a design. It's a design, and GSWA you're the ones who said it yourself. And they go on to cite several sections in GSWA's rebuttal or comments reply to their report, in which we did reference the word design numerous times. I think he said it was 5. I didn't count. We did emphasize the word design, but that's also has to be put in context. So if you go and look back, GSWA was emphasizing that these advantages of the cab four, we're emphasizing the functionality of maneuverability and visibility. It says the greater maneuverability and visibility justifications for a cab forward versus conventional. We're talking about those functional requirements, not just the design. We're explaining why, what makes the design of a cab forward, although it's seemingly just the way it's designed or the dimensions of it, it does serve some functional or performance requirement. So if you look back again, it's just repeatedly, I believe for every time we reference design, we also reference maneuverability and visibility. So we believe, I mean, reading the same exact section of law, it's not the design of the cab over. I mean, these specifications did emphasize the functional and performance criteria. All the other criteria, they might be a little, you know, more intuitive and straightforward. Turning radius, okay, the function is to turn. But the cab forward, upon closer examination, it is, you know, just from seeing it for yourself and how you sit and how you view and the length of the snout in a conventional cab, you see that there is a visibility, and from the video you saw, there is a maneuverability element to it. So there are functional and performance elements to the design. This wasn't just a case of, oh, we want a truck with blue flowers all over it. You know, that's a design description, something kind of arbitrary, just we like the way it looks, or we want it to have chrome rims. You know, this isn't that type of design. We're talking about an engine, the way it's engineered to perform some functional requirements, you know, so that the cab is over the engine and it's not in front of you. So that's the design aspect we're talking about. They say Morco also cites to 2GAR, I believe 3019N1, at least in their documents, they had said that the IFB must set forth the requirements and criteria. They can't include criteria that's not listed in the IFB. Well, we're not. We're going to measure it by cab forward or conventional, along with all the other justifications. And once there are actual bids, they can judge it by that. They also cite to 2GAR section 3019N3 states that no bid shall be evaluated by a requirement criteria not disclosed in the IFB. GSW will not be measuring it by some performance characteristic that isn't stated. It'll look at all of the specifications in the bid and see if they match that. Now this brings me to the last section, which I think is really important. 2GAR 3019N4 says only objectively measurable criteria shall be applied. Now Morco has really highlighted that, well, you didn't put maneuverability, you didn't put visibility, you didn't put safety except for in the context of windshield size. You didn't list that in the invitation for bid, you know. But that goes directly against the idea that, or the requirement by law, that you can only include objectively measurable criteria. Now, if GSWA had prepared an IFB that said, we want refuse trucks and they shall be maneuverable, they shall have great visibility, and they shall have great safety, I mean, we'd have a whole slew of protests, because how are you supposed to know how you're supposed to compete with that? What does it mean to be maneuverable? Well, what it means to be maneuverable is that they have a certain turning radius, that they have a cab forward, a flat nose. Those are two different elements, amongst others, but two different elements of maneuverability. Those are the objective criteria by which you measure maneuverability. They couldn't say the maximum visibility period. They specified windshield size. They specified cab forward. Those were the different objectively measurable criteria that they listed in the specification that for visibility. And safety, I mean safety, the brakes go to safety. The brake warning system goes to safety. Visibility goes to safety. And with all of those elements, so does cab forward go to safety. And this comes, again, from the expertise and the experience of GSWA and their operations manager. So going, just going back, was, is this, what are the needs of the territory? Just the takeaway that I hope the public auditor has gotten from this is, what were the needs of the territory, and is GSWA allowed to determine that? And is the cap, and in their expertise, can an agency rely on their expertise to determine what the needs are and what specifications satisfy that? And whether the cab board, is it just a, merely a design element? Is it something that looks nice? It looks pretty. It was arbitrary. Really, just an aesthetic preference, or does it meet some functional requirement? And if it does have some functional performance characteristics, then the agency should be allowed to rely on its expertise and experience to elect and determine that that satisfies the needs of the territory. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. The matter will be taken under advisement, and a written decision will be issued shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This concludes. This concludes the formal hearing of OPA PA 14-10, Morico Equipment LLC versus Guam Solid Waste Authority. The time is 3:00. I'm sorry.
May I add one thing? The auditor had requested this sales graph.
Yes.
Which we weren't able to produce right now, but we can submit it tomorrow morning.
Sure. That's fine. Just please provide GSWA
okay.
a copy too. Yes. Yes. Thank you very much. Sorry. Go ahead.
2:39.
This time is 3:39.
2:39.
Sorry. This is 2:39.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.